team for incredible worship today. I just love that every Sunday we can share, you can come, the bread and the juice together and to remember all that Jesus has done for us. I love hearing the different testimonies during the communion and what communion means to every single person that leads it. You know, many good times in life involve food. Special family times, Christmas, Easter, birthdays, going out for a lovely dinner with your partner, to a beautiful restaurant. Are you listening, Ray? I do really enjoy cooking and baking. And this morning, I have made a cheesecake. This is a mango cheesecake. It has a biscuit base, cream cheese in the middle, and a mango topping. It seems to be the most popular cheesecake that I make. I'm not sure. It is? Yeah, maybe because it's not a really sweet one. And I'd like to give my cheesecake away to one of you. Does anyone want my cake this morning? Yes. It's a gift for someone today. I've made it with love and have enjoyed making this. Who would like my cheesecake? I can see a lot of hands, but there's no one here. If you want the cheesecake, you've got to be the first here, and it's yours. Mindy! It's yours. Bless you. I hope you enjoy your cheesecake. It's not for church. It's for you to take home. There is a cake box in the back to make it easier to take home. Bless you. If you want something, you need to come for it. Run for it. Now, in the Bible, there are a lot of stories of Jesus having a meal. The story of Mary and Martha. Then there's the tax collector. There's the Last Supper. There is the meal when Mary gives expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. And even Jesus fed over 5,000 people with fish and bread. So today's sermon, today's little story, is about a meal. And it's a parable. Now, I personally really love the parables that Jesus spoke. I find that they are so clever. It's such an interesting way to communicate, to bring across a serious point. It fascinates me that Jesus can do this. So a parable is a story that illustrates a lesson or a principle. A parable uses human characters. It often involves a character who faces a moral dilemma or makes a bad decision and then suffers the consequences. A parable tends to be straightforward and obvious. So today's sermon is a short, not sure if it's that simple, story told by Jesus to illustrate a lesson for us all. If you have a Bible or your phone, please turn to Luke 14, verse 15 to 24. Luke 14, chapter 14, I just said that, verse 15 to 24. The parable of the great banquet. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it.' please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told a servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. But our story today actually starts in Luke 14, verse 1. Luke 14, right in the beginning of the chapter. Can you just put that one up? Verse 1. So Jesus is eating in a house of a prominent Pharisee. And it says people are carefully watching Jesus. Now, Jesus and the Pharisees don't always get on. So it's really interesting to see that they are sitting down around a table sharing a meal. Maybe the Pharisee invited Jesus to see if he could trap him to say or do something so they could maybe arrest Jesus. I think Jesus realized that they wanted to see if he would break a law somehow and just trick him into it. But Jesus certainly is not afraid of them. And then in verse 2, it says, there is a man with dropsy. Now, put the King James Version on. It says dropsy. Now, I had to Google this because Luke, who wrote this book, Luke, was a doctor. He was a physician. I'm not. So dropsy is swelling of your legs, arms, ankles, tight skin, and joint pain, which can cause heart failure, kidney failure, liver and vein issues. Have I got it right, Dr. Sarah? Oh, yes. The NIV says swelling. It's a cool word, eh? Dropsy. Anyway, so Jesus heals him like he does, and there are discussions around the dining room table about the Sabbath. Then Jesus tells its parable, a story about a wedding feast and not to take the place of honor, and he who humbles himself will be exalted, which is what Ray preached on last Sunday. Jesus has a chat with his host, a prominent Pharisee, and says to him that when he has a dinner party, not just to invite his friends or rich people, but also to invite the poor, the blind, the lame, and crippled, and he will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And this brings us to the next story around the dinner table. Someone around this table is listening in and says to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Now, this person envisioned, meaning he could understand the future outcome, the glory of the kingdom of God. But he had no idea on how to share this with other people. So Jesus turns to this individual and starts telling another parable, another story. And goodness, it's a good one. There's a man preparing a banquet, a fantastic party, lots of beautiful food. There is cheesecake and everything kosher, your heart desires. A lot of time is spent preparing this incredible feast, cleaning the house, so everything would be perfect. They vacuumed 3 times. They cleaned all the windows and they cooked and they cooked and they cooked. The custom was in those days to send out two invitations. So the first one was to announce the event. And the second one was to tell you that the food was ready, so come now. A feast, a banquet, an occasion for joy and celebration, a time when people come together to eat and to tell stories and to laugh and to get to know other people. So when everything is ready, the host sent his servant to all those that were invited to tell them that the food was ready. The excitement in the house is everyone is waiting for the guests to arrive. But now, our story takes a twist. The people that were invited came up with all sorts of excuses. They did not want to go to the party anymore. The first excuse was, I have just bought a field. I must go and see it. I mean, seriously, who buys a field without looking at it first? And why do you need to look at it now when you know it is party day? You've had your invite. Surely, the fields could have waited till tomorrow. What kind of excuse is this? Clearly, he didn't want to go to the party anymore. Then the second excuse was, I have just bought a yoke of oxen. Five yokes of oxen. Now, if you don't know, a yoke is a wooden frame that puts a pair of animals together. Right? So it's 10 oxen to work the farm. Again, surely you would have checked out these oxen before you go and use them, right? I mean, what's wrong with these people? The party is today. Can't you take some time off to go to a fancy party? And the third excuse, well, I just got married, so I can't come. I mean, was the wife not invited? Couldn't he be without her for just a couple of hours? I mean, seriously? So the servant goes back to the owner of the house without any guests. Such a terrible feeling. You spend all your time preparing the party and no one turns up. Now, many, 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 many years ago, when Tamar and Sam were still very little, we decided to have a party for one of our kids. Now, Ray and I at that time didn't have much money, so it was quite a big deal for us. And I've always made cakes for every single birthday. And then we had to buy the party food. And we were actually going to take these children to a venue. And sadly, only a couple of kids turned up. It was horrible. It was just so horrible that day, Ray and I decided that we'd never do another party again. It was horrible. But here we are in the story, and it takes another twist. The owner who looks at all the beautiful food, ready to be served, says to the servant, go to the streets and invite the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant runs around the streets and invites everyone that he can find. They all go to the party, and the servant says, there's room for more. So the master tells him to go to the roads and the country lanes. Fill my house with people to enjoy the feast that I've presented for them. There's room for more. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. That's you and me. The blessing of the kingdom is for all of us. They had a wonderful, incredible, fantastic feast. But the ones with the excuses will not even get a taste. They missed out. Great parable, right? Wonderful story. But what's the point of the story? Well, at the start of the story was when an individual said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." In biblical times, a banquet was often referred to or compared to the kingdom of God. You can see it in Matthew 22, Matthew 26. It's in the Psalms. It's in Revelations. It's all through the Bible. So if you understand that, that concept, that these people understood this, I mean, it's fascinating, right? Jesus is so clever. You get why Jesus is telling the story, because they can relate to it straight away. The banquet represents the completion of the kingdom of God. Such a great response. Jesus is teaching them and all of us a very valuable spiritual truth. We are all invited to be part of God's kingdom, to be part of God's family, to follow Jesus. God our Father is the master of the house. He's hosting a great banquet which represents the kingdom of God, heaven. He's extending a very generous invitation for our salvation. He wants his house to be full, and the invitation is to us all. God our Father sent someone out to invite them to follow him. And the excuses are just so bad. Excuses for why they don't want to follow Jesus. But think about it. That still happens today. We might have a desire to follow Jesus, but when it actually means to do something about it, we come up with excuses. So many excuses. Let's just name some that I hear all the time. Most popular one: I can't follow Jesus. I don't even know how to read the Bible. I can't follow Jesus because I don't know how to pray. I can't follow Jesus because I can't sing like Eleanor. I can't follow Jesus because I am way too busy. Oh, I can't follow Jesus. I've got far more important things to do. I can't follow Jesus. I just don't have time. I can't follow Jesus because I don't feel very well. I can't follow Jesus because work is just too busy. Such shallow excuses. We have time to eat. We have time to visit our friends. We have time to sit down and watch Netflix. And we certainly have time to sit on our phone and scroll for hours and hours and hours. We have time. We make time for things that are important to us. Is Jesus simply not important enough? Why? Yes, following Jesus takes effort. You've got to go out, got to talk to people, maybe come to church now and then, maybe use your talents and your giftings. But we are so easily distracted that we come up with excuses. I think sometimes we don't understand the blessing that's presented to us. It's a feast. It's a banquet. You know, I've been thinking about Peter and Helen and Rafi and Marijke. They are two couples from this church that have gone out on the mission field. They gave up their families, their jobs, their property, their money, their old lives to do what Jesus has asked of them. And if I was to ask them why they had done this, I imagine the answer will be something like this. after what Jesus has done for me, how could I even think about doing anything less? It's a privilege and an honor to serve him. I think they've got it. I sometimes think maybe we don't. Now, the excuses, interestingly enough, are not sinful. There's nothing wrong with buying a field. There's nothing wrong with buying an animal. There's nothing wrong with getting married. We need to work. We need to love our families. The point is, don't use it as an excuse for not coming to Jesus. Jesus is inviting you to his banquet. It is free. There is no cost involved. The invitations have gone out. Please accept the invitation. It's the best invite you will ever receive. Because the story was full of laughable excuses, the invites went to other people and they said yes, and they came to the feast. The first lot were wealthy. They had a field, they had a farm, they had oxen. It tells us they had some money. But Jesus came for us with all of our needs, our broken lives that are so messed up with dysfunctions, and we may even feel unworthy, but we are exactly the people that are invited to the feast. Anyone who's in need, everyone is invited, the rich, the poor, the old, the young. A free invitation to follow Jesus. Such great news for all of us. In this story, it's very easy to forget about the servant, but he also plays a huge part. He is the one who's going out inviting the people to the feast to get to know who Jesus, God the Father, is. But it also made me think, we must tell people about Jesus. Not just our close friends or people we know or are comfortable with. We need to extend the invitation because the feast is not cancelled. We need to go to the streets and the alleys, the lost and broken, the homeless, the poor, because God loves them all. God does not reject anyone. His arms are always open wide to welcome people in. So I've got a couple of questions for you to think about, and don't answer out loud. Have you ever shared about your belief in Jesus with someone else? Have you ever shared your belief in Jesus with someone else? If so, when was the last time you shared about your faith with someone else? When was the last time? And why is it sometimes such a struggle to share our beliefs in Jesus? And to be honest, for most of us, it's a struggle to share our faith and to point people to Jesus. We struggle to say the right words. Maybe we feel that we don't have enough knowledge or lack confidence, or we are shy and scared that people will respond to us with a negative manner. Maybe you're not sure on how to start a conversation and feel intimidated. Or maybe you just don't know any non-Christians and you're just too busy at work. It's okay. One step at a time. You can invite people to Wearable Arts on the 7th of June. You can invite people to our high tea. You can invite people to the ladies' cafe that's coming up in June as well. You can invite people to mega group or church and go from there. Jesus is great news. It's a banquet. It's a feast. So why do people need an invite? Well, the answer is there's a banquet. And the host of the banquet, this feast, is so generous. And people are hungry. And there is a need. And there is still room. God has opened the doors. And he's inviting everyone to come in. Now, for Azariah's 18th birthday 2 years ago, she really wanted a party. This was the first party she ever had. And she invited everyone. All of you in church were invited. Old school teachers from when she was five. Oranga Tamariki. Pastors from the North Island. And people of the street. She organized it all, including the menu. What no one realized was the quiet fear for Ray and I. What if no one turns up? What would that mean for her? As it was, there were over 100 people of all sorts of backgrounds. And it was a wonderful party and dinner. The thing is, Azariah was just so happy that people had accepted her invite to celebrate with her. And it was such a milestone in her life, as she was not supposed to live after the age of one. And we were very happy too. Jesus has sent us an invitation. The invite is to come to him, and you will find rest, forgiveness, and a new way of life. He invites you because he wants to have a relationship with you, to be your friend. He invites you to turn away from sin, to change your ways, and to follow him. He invites you and offers a gift of eternal life to have a place in heaven where Andrew and Carol are right now together. He invites you to commit to him. As I said before, it's the most important invitation of your life that you can ever receive. You've been given an invitation. How will you respond? In closing, this morning, there's a feast right here. An opportunity to come forward and to receive. Just like my cheesecake. Don't just sit there. Don't just put your hand up. Don't ignore it. But take a step forward and receive it today. Don't hold back. Don't even question yourself. This morning there is a banquet, and it's here for you. And I am giving you an invitation. Eleanor is going to, and Mindy are going to come up. They're going to play the song, Make Room. Could everybody stand up, please?